Hello and welcome to The 30 Project. My name is John Naylor and I'm trying to make sense of growing up one conversation at a time. That's my new catchphrase, I hope you like it. This is the second episode of the series in which I'm trying to speak to as many different people as possible, as many different types of people as possible, about what turning 30 means to them. And I'm hoping that this will help me come to terms with myself turning 30 and maybe shine a bit of a light on how I think a lot of our generation are feeling about this milestone, feeling a bit lost, like they don't really know what they want to achieve in life, but knowing that they want to achieve something. So I'm starting off by speaking to people that are already in my life. And the second episode is a chat with a very good friend of mine called Joe Tidy. Now, I've known Joe since we were about 4 years old. We've grown up together, went to the same school, went to the same university, pursued the same career, except he's continued his path onto being a broadcast journalist and is having great success at a national broadcaster, being a reporter for them and doing really, really amazingly. But one of the most interesting things about Joe is that he doesn't feel internally that he's as successful as it appears that he's doing to everybody else, which is something that we spoke about in the chat. In his 20s, got married to an amazing woman called Sophie and had two children. So that's added a whole new dimension to his life. We actually had this chat before his second child was born, so he speaks a little bit about looking forwards to that. Joe is 31 now, so he has that bit of backwards perspective on turning 30. So I started off by speaking to Joe about whether he felt the same thing of reaching the end of his youth when he turned 30.
I would argue it's all internal, the feeling of end of youth and start of life. Some of the biggest things that have made me feel like I'm no longer a young person have been to do with family commitments, not being able to do stuff. It's not, apart from that, it's not really, no one has said to me, you know, you're 30 now. In fact, quite the opposite. A lot of people say to me, oh, you're still young. You're still, you know, you've got your whole life ahead of you. It's me that doesn't feel like that. I feel like I'm no longer a young person. I wish I was. I still feel, you know, like I should be early 20s. And it doesn't feel right that I'm 30. But it's sort of, I'm coming to terms with it.
Definitely. So you do feel different then?
100%, yeah, definitely. You do feel different because it's the biggest milestone, I think, in my experience of aging, bigger than turning 18, because what's different really? I mean, you're already drinking, you're already doing stuff when you're 17, 16. Doesn't make any difference. 21, what does that mean? I don't even know what I did on my 21st.
No, 21's no. Bullshit.
It is, yeah. But then 30th, yeah, that's a big deal. Having a baby makes you grow up more than anything else, more than having a job, more than getting married, more than owning a home. A baby is the ultimate ender of youth, I suppose you could argue. And that has coincided with me turning 30.
Yeah.
If I had turned 30 without having a child, I'd be interested to see how I'd feel about my maturity. But certainly those two combined has meant there's been a huge change. Being 30, that has made a big impact on my work.
In what way?
Well, I think I've described to you before that I've done quite well early on, but now I'm just average. So I started off ahead. You know, I was doing regional news at a young age, presenting it, VJing it, doing well, won an award at a young age, and then got to Newsround, did that. Started doing Sky News and I was still in my 20s. Now I'm not in my 20s. Now I'm not even the youngest person on the team anymore. And, you know, when you're 30, you have not got the advantage of youth in a sense. It's not a case of, he's good because he's so young. It's, how old is he? 30. Oh, he's all right.
Do you think that that's genuinely how people feel, or do you think that's how you think people feel?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's possibly a lot in my head, that I think that my advantage of youth has gone. People don't look at me as a good young reporter anymore. They just look at me as a reporter. But I think there's truth in it as well, because I look young. I look younger than I am. So when people find out my age, I think there's a bit of a, oh, you know, I'm just normal. I'm a normal. I'm not special. I'm not good because I'm young. I'm just all right.
I also felt that thing of not having achieved enough by that age. And people, I think people, especially in their early 20s, would think he hasn't done as much as I thought he would have done by that age, or I will do much more by that age. Whether that's true or not is almost by the by, but it's...
I think there's a lot of pressure and there's a kind of, maybe it's the kind of Zuckerberg style. We've grown up with all these people who've done so much at such a young age that you think you've also got to achieve at young age. And I think that permeates across everything. So people think people are good because they're young. They think, oh God, wow, he's achieved so much and he's such a young age. But if you haven't really, if you've got to 30 and you haven't done more than you did in your early 20s or late 20s, you're just another normal person. I haven't thought about it. I haven't articulated it before, but I reckon that has an impact.
As someone who has worked in journalism, I don't know if I would even call myself a journalist anymore. I would say you are nowhere near average if you took a cross-section.
Me?
Of every journalist in this country, not even at your age, just every journalist in this country, you would be miles, miles in the top, you know, 10%.
This is interesting because I thank you, and you're not the first person to say that to me. And it's so interesting that you, everything is relative, right? And you might argue, people say that I'm successful because I'm a reporter at Sky News and I've done bits and bobs. I do not feel that at all. And I feel a massive pressure to push on. Only the last 2 weeks, I was just thinking, what am I going to do to get myself ahead? Because at the moment, I just don't feel that. So I think it's all relative. You know, you might say, oh, look, that's good, he's doing that. But if you're doing it, you know other people are doing a lot more interesting things than you, or winning awards, or getting on faster and better, you know. And I really do try not to compare myself to other people because it's so dangerous, and jealousy is an absolute killer of morale. It really is. I had it in my previous job when people were getting opportunities that I wasn't, so much so that I had to I wrote down a thing from this song, Baz Luhrmann's song, which I always go on about, and it drives my friends mad, including yourself. But there's some really good advice in that. And one of them is something like, don't waste your time with jealousy. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Like, that for me is so, so important to keep thinking about. So you're right. Yeah, don't compare yourself to other people, but inevitably you do. And you need to try and find techniques to try and just stick to your own path.
There's a few things I'm thinking. One of which is, do you think that our normal then is just shaped by your day-to-day life, and that you think being a reporter at Sky is normal, is average?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a really good way of putting it.
You could say, you know, national broadcast journalist, got a wife and a kid, a homeowner in a nice town in the south of England. It sounds like it's someone who's got it pretty much figured out. Do you feel like you've got it?
Yeah, I do. I feel like I've got it figured out. I think I've got a long way to go until I'm where I want to be, of course. But yeah, I think on paper, things are bloody rosy. This is it's a very small house, but it's in a lovely area. It's perfect starter home. Very, very lucky that we had Sophie's a brilliant saver. I'm awful. I'm terrible with money, as we know, but Sophie is excellent. In terms of that, that's great. Sophie, obviously, she is the absolute number one. For most of my success has probably come from Sophie. Success in work and out of work, I would say, because she's the one who keeps all this going. We've got Max, and she's fantastic with Max. Got another baby on the way. Married as well. So I've done a lot with my years. I've done a lot, definitely. And I'm on a path to hopefully do very well in my career. But I just don't know how I'm going to get there. So I think, yeah, I think if I'm honest, I look at it and I say, yeah, I've done okay with my years. I'm on a path to being the sort of person, having the sort of life I want to have. It's just a matter of now I'm 30, I need to really, really push on, because the early start, the head start that I've had is gone.
Do you feel like this pressure is only going to increase?
Yeah, because I worry that it's possible to peak too soon. And I really don't want to think that I've done that, but I worry I do. And this is all my career I'm talking about now. It's not, like I say, things at home, the rest of my life is pretty good, I would say. I mean, I am going grey, which is frustrating. And I would directly correlate that with my life as a dad and a husband, because that is less sleep, you know, stuff like that. I think it does have an impact. And I've been monitoring the greys, and they have come along in the last year to 6 months. Coincidence that Max has been
not
around? I think not. Well, I'm not blaming him. I'm just saying that this is part of it, you know. I realise whenever I talk about like me and this sort of stuff, I always talk about my career, and I can't help that, because for me, my career is such a big part of my life, and probably that's a bad thing.
The path to being a journalist and the path to even being where, you know, where you are now is tough. How tough was it, and were you ever shaken in your sort of desire to be a journalist? Did you ever feel at any point this is not worth it?
All the time. I think you think that all the time, because stuff won't go your way, or stuff will go wrong, or you don't do as good a job as you want, and you think, you know, oh God, maybe there's an easier way. Sometimes I think I'd love to have been a pop star. And I said this to Sophie recently. I was like, oh, imagine being, you know, in One Direction or somewhere. Just all you got to do is go around and sing and stuff. And then she rightly pointed out, no, that's all you're seeing. You're not seeing all the hard graft behind the... Mm. So I think the grass is always greener. Luckily for me, and I'm very lucky, I've pretty much always been interested in journalism. Yeah. The closest I've got to... Since I've been 12 years old, the closest I've got to not being in journalism was when I was at Newsround and I toyed with the idea of presenting. But then I decided very quickly that I'm not a presenter, I'm a journalist. So I got myself back on there. But I always doubt my choice of career, because it's just so competitive at all times.
Yeah.
And you just think, oh God, I'd love to just work in an office 9 to 5 doing something where I'm basically watching iPlayer all day and half my brain is on my work. Sometimes I really do think that would be, but then luckily I come to my senses. If you could draw a pie chart of your personality, what segment, how big would the segment for what you do for a living be as your identity?
I think, to be in the spirit of honesty, I think most people go, oh no, it's 10%, 5%. I think it's much bigger. I think it's, you know, it's like 40%, 50%.
If I'm honest, which I'm going to be, and it's really bad because I have a family, I would say my career is probably about 70% of my personality, my identity.
Really?
Yeah. Which is wrong. That's skewed and ridiculous. But it is. And when I left Newsround, I was worried that I was leaving a massive part of my personality, my identity behind, something that at the wedding tables people are interested in and makes me who I am has gone.
What are you hoping for in the next phase of your life? You know, you said you know where you want to be, but you don't know how to get there. Where do you want to be?
I want to be one of the most interesting and exciting TV reporters in the country. I was going to say world, that's not going to happen. In the country. I want to be the type of person that, oh, what are they doing at the moment? They're interesting. Or they come up with like a new story that you haven't seen before, or a way that just hasn't been done before. I want to stand out. I want to stand out. That's what I want to do. I want to stand out from the crowd.
And personally, you'll just keep doing what you're doing?
Outside of work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, keep getting grey hair. You know, that's going to happen. I'm going to go grey. Have my two little kids, which I imagine will both be boys. We obviously don't know what the next one is going to be. But I imagine I'll be the sort of dad that is very outdoorsy. I'll take them kayaking, I'll take them camping, I'll embarrass them all the time. And what I really want is for my mates to have kids as well, so that we can do what we did and go camping as a big unit. I think it's all really quite exciting in that side of things.
So there you go, that was Joe Tidy, ending on a positive note, which, similar to the first episode with Dave Rogers, I think was a really nice way to round things off. I think that Joe finding such happiness in his family life is also something that was really interesting. So despite the fact that he still wants to progress further in his career, he still sees a big part of his life as doing exceptionally well, and that is with Sophie and his children. So that's about it for this one. Don't forget you can visit the website the30project.co.uk if you want to see more episodes, find out a little bit more about Joe, maybe see some pictures. And you can visit me on Twitter and Facebook once I get those set up, which is not quite yet, but we're very nearly there. Okay, well, thank you very much for listening, and hopefully I will speak to you soon. Bye-bye.